And now, a group of local film buffs are here to help you decide which films to see of the more than 75 offerings in the Portland International Film Festival.
Antonioni, Mastroianni, Fellini, Pasolini, Billy Wilder, Lana Turner, Rainer Werner Fassbinder, Marlene Dietrich, Ernst Lubitsch, James Dean, Charles Chaplin, François Truffaut, Jean-Pierre Léo, Belmondo, Brigitte.
Well, good morning. Welcome to a special program of film reviews. Every year in February, the Northwest Film Center presents a festival of international films. This year there are quite a few, as always, and you may have seen the festival schedule, and you may find that there are just too many films to choose from. Directors you've never heard of, actors you've never heard of, and you don't know where to begin. So several of us today are going to try and help you select the films, because we've seen many of them. My name is Bruce, and with me are four of my friends who are, we're all members of the Northwest Film Center. It's called Silver Screen Pass. We pay an annual membership, and we get to see all the films that are shown at the Film Center throughout the year, including this festival, this two-week festival. And I'll tell you at the end how you can become a member, too. We want to cover at least 20 films in this next hour. It's a challenge. We won't be spending as much time on each film as KBOO's regular movie guys do. But if we can tell you what type of film it is, you may be able to decide whether you want to take a chance on it or not. Before we start, I should let the folks introduce themselves so that you can match the voice with the name. These are not professional reviewers, but just so you know who's talking. And we'll start with someone you may have heard on KBOO.
Good morning. My name is Alone Rob.
Alone is one of the original old moles. Is that right?
No. Maybe an old mole in a previous life, but not in the KBOO incarnation of it.
Okay.
Naomi Pollack. Argentina Erdman.
Lori Dodge.
Okay. Well, I'm happy you're all here this morning. Also, we're going to have a ticket giveaway. Not right now. Do not call in yet. This will be a little bit after 10 o'clock, and there's going to be a quiz. It's not going to be a straight giveaway. You have to know a certain piece of information. Also, at the end of the show, besides talking about Silver Screen membership, we will give information on how to get tickets for the festival for individual films. Follow along with us if you can this morning. If you have the newsprint printed schedule guide for the Portland International Film Festival, get it out right now and open it to page 3, which is called Opening Night. If you are at a computer, go to nwfilm.org, then click on Portland International Film Festival, then click on Films and Ticket Information, and you can find your way there to click on the films alphabetical by country. We're going to do them in country order because that's the way they are in the guide. All right. Let's begin. Oh, one more rule. A lot of rules here. A few of the films have already had their only showings at the festival, and they're done. Some of them may be available in town later on, either at the Film Center again, or Cinema 21, or the Roseway, or the Hollywood. We just don't have enough time to do the ones that are already done at the festival, so we're going to skip some, even though they were good. That being said, we're going to break the rule on the first film only. Our first film is from Australia, and again, if you're following, this is on the opening night page, page 3. It's called Look Both Ways, and who would like to begin and tell what this film is? Alone?
Yes, this is a wonderful film. Tells the story of several characters in Australia, contemporary Australia. It reminded me a lot of the film Magnolia, the way the stories intersected. And it's a story about love, about hope, about healing in a world full of despair. So I definitely recommend it.
I would like to say the reason we're breaking the rule is, at least for me, this is my favorite film of the 30 or so that I've seen. I found that there are several characters who are deep and complex. You don't usually see that in movies. You see maybe one who's complex and the rest are very one-dimensional. Not true here. Also, there are special effects. They're not like you'd see in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. They're used here very well to help you find out what the person is thinking without having them say their thoughts out loud, which is kind of artificial. Anyone else on this film?
Yeah, I just think it was a film that had, as you said, so many many characters in it, and yet even with the most spare exposure to a character, you got an incredible sense of empathy and involvement with each of them. So I think the comparison to Paul Thomas Anderson kind of movie would be exactly right. It's definitely a movie for people that like movies like Crash or movies like Magnolia, maybe even Me and You and Everyone We Know, those kinds of films.
This is Sarah Watts' first feature. I thought it was really amazing for a first feature film.
Mm-hmm.
Justine Clarke, who plays Meryl, I thought did a wonderful job. It was a great performance. Also, there's animation in the film, and it really works. It's wonderful ink and watercolor animation, and I think you should check it out.
Yeah, it's amazing for a first feature. Obviously, the director has worked on other films, but this would be good for a person's 10th feature. It's just really good. Okay, let's move on to also in Australia. We're on page 5 now for those following along in the guide. A movie called The Proposition. And you hear us turning pages here. Mm-hmm. We've seen so many movies we have to remind ourselves and read our notes. The Proposition is it's a Western, basically, about some bad guys and the sheriff. I'm oversimplifying, but basically that's it. Did anyone find that they could empathize with any of these characters? Are they someone you know and like or not?
Yeah.
Really?
I thought actually that I could empathize even with the most reprehensible of the characters. And I won't do a spoiler by saying too much who's who, but I think that it did an excellent job, kind of like in The Wild Bunch, where you get a sense of, you know, there may be evil being done, but you get a sense of the complexity of the characters and the it's not a black hat, white hat kind of situation, I don't think, for a Western.
Okay. I kind of disagree, but we have agreed not to agree on stuff here.
That's
just
right.
To steer you wrong. I will say, if you don't like a lot of blood and gore, don't see this movie,
right,
because it's there. You mentioned Wild Bunch, and I think that's a good comparison. All right, let's move to Belgium. We're traveling around the world here. Don't get too dizzy. Here's a film called L'Enfant in French, or The Child in English. Anyone? Okay.
It's bleak. It's
it
a very bleak movie. It's a very well-done film. If you like, there's a number of French movies that I think are in this tradition of showing kind of a very down, almost just painful to watch. It's a painful movie, but it's very true, I think, probably.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you like bleak, depressing, hopeless films, this is the perfect film for you. I agree with what you said, Naomi, but it didn't seem like it. Like you said, there were so many similar films of that kind of film, so I really didn't think it added anything, told me anything new.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to Belgium, and I didn't find it that depressing.
Yeah, it's about two young people. They're about 18 or 20, with a new baby, and they're living on the street, and things aren't going well for them, and things get even worse because of bad decisions that at least one of them makes, maybe both. Okay, zoom across the ocean now to Brazil for a film called Favela Rising. And this is an uplifting film. The word favela, this is about the slums. In one slum of many, they say 600 in Rio de Janeiro. Also, it's about music, about Afro-reggae, and a band that a large band, group of bands named Afro Reggae that obviously plays reggae, soul, and hip-hop. They mix that all together as a way. It's a documentary, by the way. And this is done as a way to divert the attention and the direction of the neighborhoods, which are just dominated by warring drug cartels and drug soldiers. Hundreds of people have been killed in the last few years in this area in drug wars. The locals, the police are a negative influence, to say the least. So the locals decide we have to fix our town ourselves. Anyone else would like to comment on this one?
I think Naomi? This is my new favorite of the festival.
Okay.
I just want to say, I my take when I got done, I went away and immediately thought, not only do I want all my friends to see it, but I even want all of my boyfriend's sons. So if you have for teenagers or for young people, this is a terrific movie to choose because it really shows the power of the individual and the way that youth can help shape a community in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the music is wonderful.
Yeah.
The music is wonderful, and this is the director's first feature. It's so professionally done, mixing the music and the cutting of the film and the editing. And interviews and performances, just really, Hollywood could not do a more smooth production. Lori?
I would say that if you enjoyed the feature film City of God, that you should take a chance and see this documentary.
Mm-hmm. Good comparison. Alone?
Yeah, the visual style was very interesting. The music was great. And for me, the most important thing was the message of hope. Seeing individuals being able to change their own circumstances, change themselves, and in the process change others as well. I think we need more films like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just have one thing to add. They don't recognize that the important element in this music is samba, that the traditional rhythms of the Brazilian people are somehow neglected here. It's hip-hop. Yes, soul, reggae, but basically samba.
Okay. So that's Favela Rising from Brazil. Next, we're going to skip across the world again to Europe, to the Czech Republic, and a movie called Skrytek. And this one is a lot of fun. This is, who would like to talk about this? Alun.
It's a very energetic, funny film. Doesn't use dialogue, only sound effects. It's about a family in the contemporary Czech Republic. And it does a wonderful job of combining elements of mythology, fable, with the reality of life today. It's a very funny film, but also manages to send very barbed arrows at globalization, commercialization, the work world, the education system. It covers a lot of ground, but I think in a very unique and wonderful way.
I agree. It's a story we've all heard before. The lack of dialogue actually works fine. I think dialogue in here would actually lessen the effect of the film. And the humor, now there's some slapstick, and I don't usually like that, but it's done so well here. This is a universal story, really well presented. So that's Skrytek from the Czech Republic.
And I guess I'd say again, this is one that if you have teenagers who are interested in film, I think this is a film that's very appropriate for them. I think they'll truly appreciate the kind of outlandish filming techniques and visuals.
Okay, next, a French film called, that was Skrytek from Czech Republic. Now we're going to go to France for a film called Innocence. And I know we have some strong feelings about this. This is a film that, on the surface, it takes place in sort of a young girl's boarding school, but it's a very strange place, totally cut off from the world. The girls don't know how they got there, and they don't really know how they'll leave or if they'll leave. It's so isolated. They're being taught to be good girls so that they can become good women. The imagery is really something. They're all wearing the same white dress. I guess that's for purity. There's never any full sunlight in the movie. It's a dark film. Others? Who wants to speak about this? No one.
I'll just say I think it was... I would not recommend this film because I felt it was pretentious and overly wrought in terms of symbolism. As you say, you know, the white dresses for purity. I mean, to me, it was like a, you know, maybe filmmakers 101 in study in symbolism, not sophisticated at all.
Alone?
I think it might have worked as a short film, a very short film, or a painting. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of some surrealist work. Mm-hmm. But for 90 minutes or whatever, it was painful, annoying, irritating, and pretentious.
But did you like it?
No. No, those are pretentious films. Irritating films are not my favorite
okay.
kind of films.
I was joking. Okay, anyway, that one, if it does sound like something you like, the name of it is Innocence, and it's from France. And it might, you know, some of these films, this one's still showing at the festival. Some of these films will show up in town, but not too many. But let's move on. Another film that was produced in France, as well as Germany, as well as one or two other countries. In your guide, it's listed under France. It's called Merry Christmas. And Argentina?
Yes. In the 60s, we expressed a wishful thinking, saying, suppose there was a war and nobody came. I would say this film, it's a slightly different version. Suppose there was a war there and nobody fought. It was a natural series of events that lead to almost a miraculous truce in which the armies that are facing one another in hatred, prepared to see one another as enemies, come to a very humane, human action. They sing together. They
Yeah, this is based on a historical incident which I had heard of, didn't know much about, but I'd heard of in World War One, a battlefield on the border of France and Germany and I think probably near Belgium or Luxembourg, where on Christmas Eve the soldiers just stop fighting and there's a little incident where the two commanders, two of the three commanders, who are actually two allied countries and plus Germany, all facing each other, the commanders have to go out in the middle and talk to each other for a moment. And this is Christmas Eve. By the next day, they are just, it's a recess in the war, and the soldiers are acting like we're all just soldiers in the same world. I won't tell you what happened at the end. We're trying not to do that in any of these films, but the war resumes. We'll say that, and you know that. Alone?
And hopefully this film will be shown at the White House, so our friends in power could watch it and maybe learn something.
Okay, this is Merry Christmas from France, and its last showing at the film festival is tonight at 7 p.m. Laurie?
I didn't enjoy this movie as much as others, I guess, did. I thought it was well acted, but I thought it was overly sentimental, and I thought it was a very sanitized take on the war. And also the lip-syncing, the bad lip-syncing really bothered me in this movie.
And that shouldn't have happened because this was done by a major studio and major actors and so on, and it is kind of slick, and some of the answers, there was a little bit of silliness, at least, in some of the plot turns. But it is entertaining, I think. Mm-hmm. At least I would say that.
But you could go to Merry Christmas on Valentine's Day.
You could do that, yeah. Okay, that was Merry Christmas from France. Now we're going to move to Great Britain for a couple of films. The first one that we've seen is called Kinky Boots. And this is about Kinky Boots. who, it's sort of a Charles Dickens story, although brought up to the present tense. A business that is not doing well needs to find a way to succeed or close down. And who would like to say anything about this? Anyone?
To me, this is the typical Miramax feel-good film. If you like films like The Full Monty, Billy Elliot, Scrapper coming from behind, finding a way to make it all work. There's no surprises in this movie. I think everybody, you know from about the first 5 minutes, mm-hmm. how it's probably going to go and end. But it doesn't mean that it's not an enjoyable ride along the way. To me, it's pretty forgettable. But it's, you know, it's a fun movie and some fabulous transvestite fashions.
Yeah, the idea here is that a very staid, old-fashioned shoe company makes very old styles for men and is not making any money. They wind up making styles for male transvestites, drag queens, and so on. And if this intrigues you, then you should see the movie. It is entertaining. I mean, I didn't feel like walking out or anything like that. So that's Kinky Boots from Great Britain. Another one from Great Britain is Wawa, which I saw just last night, and it will have one more showing on the 19th. I think I may have been the only one in this group who was there. Okay, Naomi, you want to go first?
No, you go.
Okay. Okay. This also was not, I don't think, a great movie. It's about the end of the British colonial era, and it's a family with a lot of troubles stationed in Swaziland, which is a small country surrounded by South Africa. And we do get some good scenery photos, aerial photos, and a little bit of the local people. But basically it's about these old Brits who, hey, you know, the colonial era ended long before this, but this country changed hands at the time of this movie, which was 1969, changed to local control. Meanwhile, this family, there's alcoholism, there's a teenager becoming a teenager, there's adultery. It's a soap opera, basically.
Yeah.
And the plot turns were corny. I didn't believe some of those things would happen in the real world. But anyway, that's Wawa from Great Britain.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I happened to know, well, the one interesting sort of side point on it is apparently an autobiographical movie by the director, and the director is actor Richard Grant, who's been in movies like With Nail and I and How to Get Ahead in Advertising. That is about all that held my interest as I kept watching, just trying to look for interesting, kind of surprised that it was actually true, because I think if I hadn't known that piece, I would have thought it was just a piece of melodramatic fluff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know that, and I thought
you
it was
did
melodramatic
that.
Fluff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Wawa. You know, we're telling you the ones that we didn't like because there's just so many to choose from each night. There are four theaters going simultaneously, and we hope you'll have the best experience by going to something that the odds are that you'll like it based on what we might tell you or what you might read in the guide. India, a movie called Paheli. In English, that means The Riddle. This is Bollywood. If you don't know what Bollywood is, it's the Indian name for their Hollywood. India produces more movies than the United States. They have the largest film industry in the world. And this one is typical in many ways. It's a folk tale, and there are two little puppets that sort of stand at the corner of the screen and connect the different stages in the story. There are production numbers. There's a love story. The lead actors are, he's handsome, she's beautiful, if those are the right words. Beyond belief, probably. Mm. It's, as I say, a big production. Alone?
Yes, I like this film a lot. Again, the combination of different elements worked very well. The dancing was great. The camel racing was very interesting. And I did like the way the fable, the mythical, combined again with the sort of real situation. And the story, the message of the story, again, was we've heard it before, but it was a good message to see again. And this film I enjoyed a lot.
Lori?
I like this film as well. It was really fun. I guess I would call it eye candy in a way because it's so beautiful. It's just kind of a kaleidoscope of color and movement. And I don't know, I'm a sucker for the saris and the jewelry. And, you know,
that's what makes
I enjoyed it.
Yes.
Okay, good, good. That's Paheli from India. And that has one more showing on the 19th. Let's move to Iran now. And a film called Iron Island. This one I enjoyed a lot. It provoked me. It's some people living on a ship that won't move anymore. It's docked just off the coast somewhere, Iran, obviously. And the captain is the mullah, I guess you might say. This film is a metaphor, a microcosm of the wider society of all of Iran, or even the whole world. People in a community that has a line drawn around it, which in this case is the ocean, the sea. Anyone like to comment on this? No one else. Well,
I guess I probably liked this less than most of the other people I've spoken to. And I guess the only reason for me was just that it wasn't a revelation in any way that it was a microcosm. It seemed to me kind of pretty obvious that this mm-hmm. is a story about a society and the society, you know, kind of we are the enemy kind of thing. So I just, for me, it wasn't surprising or unexpected in a way that I had hoped for.
Mm-hmm. You know, a comment you made that it was, you know, it wasn't a surprise that this was a metaphor, a microcosm, and a comment Alone made on the last film that we had seen similar stories before. There are only a certain number of stories that can be that are there to be told, certain number of situations, certain number of messages. And I know for myself what I look for is, you know, maybe a new angle. Or before we talked about a Western made in Australia. We've even seen a John Wayne movie a couple of years ago made in Hungary, mm-hmm. you know. Some new angle to an old story, or better acting, or better cinematography or something. Any of those can often be worth going alone.
I disagree that there's a limited number of stories. I think there are infinite numbers of stories and songs and films and ideas. I don't think there's ever a limit. This film I liked, and with these films in the festival, I think, you know, I approached them both, each film individually, but also, obviously, it's a great chance to see in a very condensed period of time visions of people from around the world. And for me, at least, it's hard to separate viewing a film from what's going on in the world. And I think, considering how Iran is demonized now, in this country, I think it's always good to remind ourselves that there are people over there just like us who create films, who love, who think, who feel, and so forth. And this film wasn't the perfect film. It wasn't the best film I've ever seen, even from Iran. I've seen other beautiful films from that country, but it was interesting to see the little barbed sharp barbs they were sending at the mullahs, and so I would recommend it. After all, how many films from Iran do we get to see in this country? So I would recommend it for sure.
Okay, that's Iron Island from Iran. And one other film from Iran, and only one of us has seen it. It's called So Close, So Far. Argentina, you want to say anything about that?
Yes, I have seen it. It's in the best tradition of Iranian film production. They started with Salam Cinema, and they have really been consistently very good. The cinematography is spectacular. They show the film, the desert, the country. They show the desert in all its glory. The story is credible. It's a good story. It's very well told. It deals basically with a wake-up call, let's say, for people who are mostly concerned with being successful in what they do and forgetting that there are other things that are also very important in the true success of a life, the family, the community. And this man who's a successful neurologist finds himself in a position to discover precisely what he has been missing and attempts to recover it. It's a very interesting interestingly told story. I would recommend it. It's Iranian submission for the best foreign language film Oscar this year.
Yeah. By the way, a lot of these films are their country's submission. So we are really being offered the best of film from many countries in the world. That one was So Close, So Far from Iran. You're listening to a program of reviews of films in the Portland International Film Festival. Coming up this morning at 10:30 after this program, on stage and studio, Love's Labors, a Valentine's Day special. D-May Roberts will be hosting that. And don't forget, at 11 o'clock, Democracy Now! Today they'll spend the hour with Shlomo Ben-Ami, author of Scars of War, Wounds of Peace, and with Norman Finkelstein, author of Beyond Chutzpah. They'll talk about the origins of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the Oslo peace process, and the present situation. This is KBOO Community Radio in Portland. Stay tuned.
John Moreau, Robert De Niro, Mia Farrow, Woody Allen, Sophia Loren.
Okay, welcome back. We have a ticket giveaway. Do not call yet. If we see the line light up on the engineer's phone, we're going to hang up on that one because I have not told you what you're going to have to know. This is a quiz. And we have two tickets. These are for any film in the film festival. What's going to happen is the winner will go to the ticket office, your name will be there, and you can choose any film except tonight's films. They have the ticket office at the Film Center, and I'll explain this at the end for everyone, but you can only buy tickets for films the next day and onward. So if you want to see one tonight only, don't call. But for any other film, two tickets to give away, and here's the quiz. What film featured performances by two people who are KBOO program hosts today? And we will take as acceptable answers either the name of the film or the name of either one of those two KBOO programmers. And the number to call, do not call the receptionist desk, the number to call is the one you know from talk radio, 503-231-8187. So, what film featured performances from two people who are KBOO program hosts today? All right, let's go back to our reviews. And the next one is from Japan, The Hidden Blade, a samurai film. Who would like to talk about this? Silence. Okay, well, I'll tell you just a little bit about it. If you like samurai films, there's a certain sameness to all of them. If you like it, you probably will want to see this. There is samurai, as you know, were sort of, at least in the movies I've seen, they're always portrayed as following the individual, not the whole group. It's not like an army. These are individual fighters. In this one, there's an issue about a bad marriage, and there's another woman who is the one that maybe he should have married. Meanwhile, the guy is trying to lead an honorable life, which is part of his job description. That means duty to his family, as well as to the samurai tradition, and to his extended family, who is basically his employer as a samurai. And so there's going to be some conflicts between his allegiances. I think that's all I'll say about it. It's pretty good. Maybe not as good as who am I thinking of?
Twilight Samurai from last year.
Twilight Samurai and Kurosawa's films. I think we've all seen some samurai and other films directed by Kurosawa. This is not Kurosawa. Naomi?
It's not Kurosawa, but it is by the same director that did Twilight Samurai last year. So if you did see that, I think you would probably very much enjoy this film. And it's from the about the Edo era of Japan. And one of the other parts that's fascinating about it, for those that are interested in historical films, is watching some of the shifts that occur in that historical era between the old world Japanese way of fighting and the sort of integration of Western techniques, guns, etc., into their arsenal. It's almost comedic in certain ways, but it's a really fascinating sort of little snapshot of a period of transition.
Lori?
I would just say buyer beware on this one. If you're going to see a samurai film for swordplay, this film has very little swordplay in it. I didn't find it as compelling as Twilight Samurai. I like that much more, though I thought this film was very well made. It has a great story. But don't go if you're expecting a lot of swordplay.
Okay. All right, that was The Hidden Blade from Japan. Now we're going to go to Mexico. Oh, I hope you're not getting getting jet lag from all this travel. But really, the film festival is a way to see different countries and certainly different cultures, very different cultures from one's own, and do it all in a short period of time and not go any further than downtown Portland. Now we go to Mexico, a film called To the Other Side. This is a film where three stories are woven together. They start off with a similar premise and turn out in three different ways. They are basically about children, two boys, one girl, in three different countries. One is Mexico, one is Cuba, one is Morocco, where the fathers, they believe, have left. Well, one sees his father leave. The others understand that their fathers have left to go to a first world country where they can make money to support the family. Certainly, we're all very familiar with this, with Mexican men coming to the U.S. to work and send money home, take money home. The stories turn out differently. I think these are pretty well done, not too deep. I don't know what to say. As far as the idea of weaving several stories together, this is a common theme for movie makers and novelists, too. I think this is better than the average attempt to do that. And it's pretty entertaining, and there's one more showing on the 17th. Anyone else on this one? Okay, that's To the Other Side from Mexico. And now we're going to go to Romania. Let's wait one moment. I seem to have stumped you on the quiz question, so I'm not going to give hints. I'll just say, from this point, the first caller wins the pair of tickets, and you can go to any film in the film festival starting with tomorrow night. Okay, Romania, The Death of Mr. Lazarescu. This is a few hours in the life of one person. Who would like to speak about this? Alone.
You get a very good picture of the Romanian health care system, which according to the film is not so bad, actually. I mean, they might shuffle you around and send you from place to place, but they actually have well-stocked hospitals and so forth. This film and the film that is playing tonight also, or tomorrow from Poland, which we seem to have skipped, Majnika 4, about an artist, so both about elderly men, difficult human beings, to say the least, very self-absorbed. The Romanian film did not hold much interest to me. It showed every cough, every blood spitting, every vomit. After a while, you wonder, what's the point?
Alone, I want to interrupt for a moment to say that we have a winner. Please, no more calls. Thank you for calling, but we have a winner, and I'll give the answer to the quiz in a few minutes. Alone?
And hopefully the winner will not have to go through the Romanian healthcare system or the American healthcare system. The only interest in this film for me was just having been in a hospital in America about a year ago. Just the comparisons were interesting, but otherwise, I won't recommend this film or the Polish film, Majnika 4, which is coming, which will be shown tomorrow and is about a naive painter. I love films about artists. I love films about, I love naive art, outsider art. But in this case, the character reminded me of R. Crumb, very self-absorbed, not that interesting to me. Sexist. So both these films I would not recommend.
Okay, yeah, the Polish film, Majnika 4. We have so many films that I was trying to make some decisions about skipping. Lori?
Actually, the Romanian film has actually grown on me. I kind of dismissed it when I first saw it, but I've thought about it quite a bit since, and I think I would actually upgrade my opinion of it now.
Why?
Why? Because I've thought about it a lot. It's made me think about it. And I really like the fact that it was told in almost real time.
It was. This is a film, I guess you call this cinema verite.
Mm-hmm.
almost like a documentary following something, only this is fiction. But this covers a period of time of maybe 12 hours or so. I think the man, what happens is he calls for an ambulance in late afternoon, I think, mm-hmm. and it ends about 6 o'clock the next morning. The film is 2 hours long, but it seems like, except for like part of the ambulance rides and part of some scenes, it seems like you're with him the whole time. So that kind of pacing, some people may like it, some may not.
I'd say take a chance.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's Death of Mr. Lazarescu from Romania. My Nikki Four, let's go back just a little bit to Poland. My Nikki Four, I will say that if you're looking for art, this is based on a real person who is very prolific, thousands of works, naive art, like Grandma Moses sort of, if you know that kind of thing. The art is not shown. At the end, during the credits, they show a few of the pieces of art. It's unfair in that way. If you saw the movie about Jackson Pollock, where they really spend time just showing you the movie, even stopping the dialogue, just showing you the art, this is just the opposite. I thought it was unfair, actually. Okay, but that's my Nikki Four from Poland. Interesting character, genius, and maddening personality at the same time.
And another fascinating side note on that is that the character, who is a male character, is actually played by a woman, which I don't think anyone can ever guess. It is absolutely invisible.
I did not guess that. I went into the movie without having read the description, went home and read that. It makes no difference. No. You don't need to know that to watch the movie. It's not part of the plot or anything. Excellent acting job.
Incredible.
Just excellent. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's move to Russia. A film called Four. The name of it is simply the numeral four. And the number has some importance in what goes on in the movie. This is another movie from the decadent post-independence Russia. There have been, ever since 1991, basically, it seems like all the movies from there are about the decadence of the society. I think this goes further. This goes into madness. who would like to say something about this? Did anyone like it?
No.
Okay.
First film I've walked out of near the end.
Okay.
Well, I'm in the minority then, because I liked parts of it.
Okay.
I did like parts of it.
Tell us what aspects you like.
It's definitely not for everyone. I will say that right off the bat. What can I say about it? Clones, crones, and chewies kind of feature in this film. I thought it was a very challenging film.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on here.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I would say if you're going to the film festival, at least take a chance on one of the Russian films this year.
Okay, and we will be
not
talking
that
about
one.
The others.
But not that one. We've got one
okay.
for you coming up.
Well, that was four. Why don't we move on to the next Russian one? We've actually, most of us have seen at least three of these. Mm-hmm. Next one is Dreaming of Space. This is has sort of a mysterious feel to it. It's set in about 1960 or so, at the time when Yuri Gagarin was the first astronaut. Russian was the first man in space. He was a superhero, and everyone in Russia was thinking about outer space. Many Americans were, too. The space race was getting going. And it's a story about, not about Yuri Gagarin, he's sort of in the background, but about two men. One is considered by the other to be a real admirable character, and the other tries to imitate and follow this sort of it's sort of a leader and follower thing, although the leader doesn't really want to be a leader. The follower probably doesn't even know he's being a follower. Comments? Silence.
I enjoyed this film. My neighbor that watched it with me, we both sort of said, we're not quite sure we know what it was about, but we liked it. And I think what I liked is exactly what you were talking about, is the mysterious aura that it creates. Unlike the film Innocence, which was so heavy-handed in trying to create an aura of mystery, I think this one actually effortlessly did create that sense. And to me, it was a sense of a collision of the sort of claustrophobic lives that these people were living, and then the potentiality of outer space travel. They were so in love with the idea of even just catching a glimpse of the satellite that I felt like it captured an era and captured it in a way that felt different, felt foreign. Often people say, I want to feel like when I've gone to a movie, I've gone somewhere else. This movie was transporting.
Okay. Alone?
I agree with Nomi, and also a lot of nice scenes with bicycles, which I always like to see in film. So,
okay. That was Dreaming of Space from Russia. And one more from Russia. This actually, there's nothing Russian about it except the director, but it's a film about Japan. It's a film about the Emperor Hirohito, and right at the end of World War II, when he's being called upon to surrender, the Americans arrive in Tokyo. This is a very interesting character, Hirohito, and I don't know how much of this is historically correct and how much is conjecture, but very interesting. This man has lived in the palace all his life. He is very, very not connected with the real world out there. Yet he's suddenly being called upon to deal with something that impacts everyone, and he knows it. And a lot of this is the verbal encounter between him and General MacArthur, who is a very different character, especially as played here. It's a character study. Basically, the actor who plays Hirohito is on the screen just about the whole film. It made me think of Downfall, last year's film about Hitler, who, same time period, similar situation, although they're very different people. Hirohito was brought up as a gentleman, and most important, he is a god. He's not just the king, the emperor. He is thought of by his subjects and by himself as a living god. And now he's being asked to surrender, having lost a war, which I found it fascinating. Others?
Yeah, I thought this was one of the most fascinating films of the festival. And I'm like you, I immediately started making comparisons with Downfall, and even there's some very literal comparisons when they're in the bunker downstairs, and you think of Hitler in the bunker in Downfall. But this movie made me, I'm not very historically astute, so I went and wanted to look up everything I could about Hirohito and read about it all last night. So it's one of those films that will make you want to dive into history. And I think a lot of it is quite historically correct from what I can understand from my reading. One of the interesting side notes that I learned about this film is that apparently in Japan, it is still to this day forbidden to play an emperor. So the director of this film, which it is a Russian film, had to keep secret who the actor was who was playing this role for fear of reprisal against him. So, I mean, it's an interesting political and historical film. I would highly recommend it. You will be thinking about it for a long time after. Mm-hmm.
Bit of a warning, the pacing is slow, not interminable, it's just slow. Similar to Downfall, where Hitler had never been shown in a movie, and I've heard that the actor who played him, I heard him interviewed, actually, and he said he gets these strange stares on the street, which he should have expected, but so there was no rule against it, but it just was never done before. We have a lot of films here and not much time left, and we haven't seen them all, but I think we need to just kind of move ahead really quickly and tell you about as many as we can, help you decide what to see. Let's go to Switzerland just very quickly for a film called The Giant Buddhas, just long enough. I know I want to say, well, it's a documentary about the Taliban blowing up these huge carved rock statues of the Buddha in Afghanistan. This is an incident that happened just a couple of years ago. They threatened to do it. People around the world said, please don't do it. They did it anyway. You may have seen this on CNN or elsewhere in the news. If you've seen it, you don't need to see this film at all. You just don't. They show the blowing up, and they talk briefly about the repercussions, and that's it. This could have been told in 5 minutes. So that's The Giant Buddhas from Switzerland. Now, some American films. Even though it's an international festival, the Film Center shows some American films in the festival because they won't get shown probably very much otherwise. These are independent filmmakers. In the case of the first one we're going to talk about, it's local. It's from Oregon, a film called Clear Cut, the story of Philomath, Oregon. Philomath is a town just west of Corvallis, which until 15 or 20 years ago had 12 lumber mills. Definitely that was the dominant industry there. There's still two left. This is also a documentary made by someone who grew up there, and he was in early on the story as it developed, as well as interviewing people afterwards. A local foundation started by a family that had made a lot of money in lumbering offered to pay the college tuition of anyone who graduated from Philomath High School who could not afford to go to college. And over many years, they did that. They paid for that. The founders of the foundation have died. Their nephews have taken over. One in particular has taken over the foundation. And the story is basically that this man doesn't like that the new school superintendent is letting the teachers teach about the environment and saying such terrible things as that logging might be bad for the forest. Alone?
Yeah, this is a traditional documentary. I mean, there's nothing too unique about it, but I thought he told the story well. And I like the fact that the filmmaker was able to get every different perspectives. It was hard to tell what the filmmaker is actually thinking, which sometimes I don't like, but in this case it was fine. And the issues, as you mentioned, teaching environmentalism, the clash between the urban, more politically correct, as they even call it in the film, perspective, and the local people, there are also issues and controversy over a Native American statue at the school and the football team's mascot. I thought it was a good film, and considering the topic and considering it was made in the state and considering that these issues will probably continue to be around for a while, I recommend it.
Yeah, I recommend it highly. It's I think it was just a now here again whereas I felt like Iron Island was a kind of a forced microcosm of a greater society issues. This seems like a very natural microcosm of a culture clash that's probably occurring across the country. Maybe not always with the timber industry as the background, but you know, it's generational clash. It's a culture clash of new versus old. It's academic versus local and sort of tradition. So I recommend this highly. And again, I think this is one that teenagers would like as well.
Yes, yes. And this will show. It's actually done at the festival, but it'll be around town somewhere for sure. What drove it for me is the two leading characters, certainly this man who is heading the foundation. He is interviewed, a lot of the film is a long interview with him as well as other interviews with him and many other people. But he has a certain political philosophy and he states it clearly. And you can make of that what you will. The superintendent of schools is quite a different person, and you get these two characters. You just see the difference. This couldn't have been done, I think, as well if it was fiction, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's Clear Cut, listed as a United States film. Another one from the U.S. is The Devil and Daniel Johnston, another documentary. Naomi?
This is, again, one of my very favorite films of the festival, and I think, again, like we were saying, that Mr. Lazaresco was a fiction film that felt like a documentary. This is a documentary that, to me, felt absolutely as engaging as fiction, but you marvel at it all the more because it's true.
Yeah, well, let's tell what it's
about. It's a story of an outsider artist, and I guess if you have to encapsulate who this man is, named Daniel Johnston. You're introduced to him as a young kid, as a teenager, who is obsessed with making art of all kinds, recordings and visual art and music. And over time, we see two things happening. We see him gaining some recognition in his local community in Austin as a singer-songwriter in particular. We also see him start to develop signs of, at the very least, pretty severe manic depression. His issues, mental issues, grow. his popularity grows, and it's really about the struggle between those two things over time. This is a very, very interesting film and very well shot. I recommend it highly. It's almost too hard to describe for me.
Yeah, I enjoyed it very much too. The music isn't necessarily music. I wouldn't go to a concert for a lot of this stuff. He has written his songs have been covered, fortunately, by a lot of artists, including punk artists, Kurt Cobain. I'm not good with the music. Beck. Okay. Actually, Daniel Johnson performs, and he doesn't sing well. He doesn't play the guitar well. That was a little hard to listen to, but I still was fascinated by this character, and it was well told. And since he also did Super 8 movies when he was a kid, the filmmaker was able to cover his whole life. It's fascinating. The last showing at the film festival is tonight at 8:45. Let's go to, we just have a couple of minutes left. Who would like to just pick one of the remaining ones here that you just have to talk about? Alone?
Maybe The Heart of the Game.
Which country is that?
It's an American film, a documentary about basketball, a girls' basketball team, high school team in Seattle. As we discussed it yesterday, I was in a distinct minority. I love films about sports. I love sports. But this film I disliked greatly. Not so much because of the story, but because of different messages it was sending and a way I thought it was manipulating the audience. The coach of the team, his method of motivating the students is basically appealing to violence. Kill, kill, kill. We're piranhas. Some would view it as empowerment. I personally do not find that that different than the message that our culture is sending us daily. So I dislike that greatly. And also I did not like the fact that rules are bent in the school district and lawyers are employed and lots of money. So they could change the rules. So basically a high school student who knows how to bounce a ball better than anybody else gets to play another year. And to me, those kind of things are extremely unfavorable. So as such, I did not like it at all.
Okay. We have just like about 1 minute for one more film, and it'll be an American film called Mutual Appreciation. Lori?
I did not like this film at all. I just thought it was really boring, and if I had not had people sitting on either side of me, I would have gotten up and walked out. And I can't remember the last time I wanted to walk out of a movie.
Okay, and you see something like 300 films a year?
I see, on a good year, close to 300.
Okay,
Naomi?
This will be a good one to end it on then, because it'll show the subjectivity that we all have with Fellini's films, because I really liked this film.
Okay.
It's a story of 20-somethings who are just out of college, perhaps, trying to find their way in the world. These happen to live in Williamsburg, in Brooklyn, in New York. They're artistic. They're trying to make a life for themselves, but they don't even know who they are yet. To me, this is a very realistic movie that's like a Richard Linklater Slackers type movie or Noah Baumbach Kicking and Screaming. If you like Stranger Than Paradise, Jim Jarmusch movies, this is that your movie. So give it a try and learn something about the 20-something set.
Okay. I want to say real briefly, there are also 6 collections of short films. This is a different kind of movie-going experience. I will tell you that Shortcuts 1, which I have seen, is about 9 films. They were all good. If you don't like a film in a collection of shorts, just wait a minute and there'll be another one on. It's kind of fun. There's also a collection of animation, which is very varied and includes some Portlanders. We have a great animation community here. So those are the shorts. And most films in the festival, including the short collections, are shown at least twice. Here's how you get to the festival. There's a ticket office at the downtown at the corner of Southwest 9th and Taylor. They're open from noon to 7 p.m., 7 days a week, through the end of the festival, which is a week from Sunday, the 26th. You can buy tickets there for any film except on the day of the showing. On the day of the showing, you can only buy tickets at the theater 30 minutes before the film. And the theaters are all very close to each other downtown, the Guild Theater on 9th, the Witzel Auditorium at the Art Museum, and 2 theaters at the Broadway Regal film complex at 1000 Southwest Broadway, I think it is. There's also a phone number to call. You can go to nwfilm.org. And, gosh, I can't find the phone number. Oh, here it is, 228-PIFF, or 228-7433. My name is Bruce, and I want to thank all my guests who, again, we're not professional reviewers. We've just tried to tell you what these films are like. Also want to thank our engineer, Janet Anderson, and Kathleen Stevenson, Public Affairs Director. Thanks for listening. See you at the movies.
This is KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, and we have a ticket giveaway for a documentary film called The Real Dirt on Farmer John. It's playing at the Hollywood Theater February 10th through the 16th, so you have a couple more days to see it. You must not have won anything from KBOO within the last 30 days, and you must be able to pick up the tickets at the station sometime between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. We have one pair of tickets, so to win, be the first caller to phone the front desk, 503-231-8032.